You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, the Marlins continue, even into January, to be one of the most interesting and news-making teams of this offseason. It seems like the current question is regarding Dan Haran. Based on your reporting, it sounds like Dan Haran really doesn't want to pitch away from the West Coast, even if that's where he's employed. What's the current status of that situation?
Yeah, Matthew, they're certainly trying to shop him and find something that makes both parties happy. I mean, will he completely close the door on coming to Miami? Probably not, if it means walking away from $10 million. But, you know, the Marlins have created a culture where they're really wanting guys to buy in and be part of this. And, you know, they got a lot of high hopes this year. And you got to think from their point of view, the fact that he's been on the fence and notified them already of his intention or his preference to remain out west instead of taking more time to think about it when he had all the time he needed to think about it, kind of is an indication to me that you know, his heart isn't totally into what the Marlins are doing. So I fully anticipate, and I understand, and I've heard that there is a market for him. The question will be, will the team pick up all the $10 million? Would it require them throwing in another player or two and making it a little bigger deal than just a Dan Haran goes out west for a prospect or whatever? So it's going to be an interesting storyline that I would think would get resolved fairly soon because, you know, the Marlins are putting the rest of their roster together, and they kind of want to see where all the budget and everything falls in place.
How did this get to this point, just given that this didn't really seem like a surprise to anybody? I don't get the impression Haran sprung this on them, that this was pretty well known. When they made a deal to bring him in, what was the thought process, given that, again, yeah, it seems like they knew that this was going to happen?
Yeah, great question, because, you know, they moved some very good pieces to get D. Gordon, who was obviously the centerpiece of the trade. And they also knew the day of the trade that Dan Haran wasn't really, you know, in his mind thinking of, you know, pitching anywhere but out west. So, you know, they did some things to protect themselves and get the, you know, the money kind of allocated regardless to get that contract paid for by the Dodgers. But, you know, they moved. You know, you probably could have got D. Gordon for Andrew Heaney straight up. You know, to move other parts, including a good reliever like Chris Hatcher and, you know, a guy like D.K. Hernandez. And, you know, it just kind of, it's a little baffling to me. I haven't got the full answer of why they made such a big trade for, you know, a question mark. And even, you know, by their own doing, Matthew, the next day, literally the next day at the winter meetings, they acquired Matt Latos in anticipation of Dan Haran doing exactly what we're talking about. So a little baffling as to why he was part of that trade. But, you know, the team did it. Maybe at the time they thought that they could convince him to stay. And then, you know, if so, you know, the overall depth of the rotation would have been much, much stronger. So maybe that was the reason. But, you know, they're left with a little bit of an issue that they probably don't really need, you know, before, as they kind of round this roster out and go into spring training next month with, you know, a lot of positive energy and a team ready to make some real noise in the NL East.
So, what is Plan B? Is it for sure that they go get somebody else if they deal Haran, or is there a chance that they go into spring with the starters on hand they have minus Dan Haran?
Yeah, it almost seems what you just said, the latter. It seems, you know, this late in the process, I mean, you know, unless, you know, James Shields, who apparently could be going to the Cardinals as we speak, you know, unless there's a James Shields scenario or another pitcher in place, you got to think that, you know, the starters they have are, you know, pretty good as is, with the addition of Latos and knowing that Jose will be coming back. And all indications, Matthew, is Jose is really, really doing well in the recovery. Now, how much that means it speeds it up, we'll have to see, and it probably, I think they still have to be cautious there. There's not a lot out there, and I don't think they moved so many pieces last month just to get the pieces they had. They don't really have, you know, the trade chips right now to go get a fifth starter, and they do have quality candidates who could, you know, certainly be deserving of getting a chance in spring training to see how things play out. So, the plan B, I would think, is to go in with what you got, and depends on what you would get in a trade with Aaron as well.
You mentioned Shields, and there has at least been some smoke around there. Do you think that is in any way viable, or is that pretty much a pipe dream?
I think that his market or his chance of pitching in Miami would pretty much have to be a shrinking market and him going for less dollars. I can't see the Marlins going, you know, 500 plus. I mean, they're trying to sign Yelich and Ozuna and hopefully Jose long term. To allocate kind of dollars it would take to get Shields on the back end of a 4 or 5 year contract just does not seem to fit what they're trying to do. Because another thing that they try to do, and one thing different between now and 12 is, 12, they put a payroll out there they had a hard time meeting. This time around, even with the Stanton deal, they're trying to be responsible with payroll and build it gradually. And a $20 million plus for James Shields at age 33, 34, whatever he is now, would be, you know, that really does not seem to me like that's a forefront deal. If Shields, to me, comes here on a bargain, not at a high premium.
Do you think, as currently constructed, that if you take Heron out of the mix and don't add in another starter, there's a lot of upside in that rotation, but I think it's also fair to say there are a lot of questions with most of the guys.
Correct.
Do you think, and does the club think, that as currently constructed without Dan Heron in the rotation, that this club is good enough, deep enough, strong enough to reach the heights that I think it's fair to say that they're expecting of themselves?
Yeah, yes, but obviously more have to fall into place. More, you know, you're going to need health foremost, you know, from guys, and none of the five or six you're really banking on taking any steps backwards. And I think, Matthew, you're going to go into spring training looking at like a Brad Hand. Is he going to, you know, he and let's say Hand and Kohler in competition for that fifth spot? Hand's out of options. Let's say they both do really well in spring. Now, with Hand being out of options, do you move one of those two to the bullpen? That could create a little bit of a mess because they're a little bit not where you really want them. Now, do you make a trade in spring training? You know, as you know, there'll be injuries and there'll be, you know, ups and downs for all teams. And does Hand now get traded? I think you're going to look at if they do not get if Heron doesn't, you know, accept to come here and they don't make another move, I think you're going to be looking at either a trade scenario in spring training or, you know, something really quirky regarding the rotation before we get an opening day.
And that still leaves, even beyond the rotation, there's still a few other goals this club hopes to sew up before spring training starts, which, believe it or not, is coming rapidly. You've mentioned looks at the bench and the outfield. What do you think is next, aside from the rotation, what do you think is next on their shopping list?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously are going to need a fourth outfielder. They currently, on their 40 men, have three outfielders, and those are their starters, so... I would anticipate sometime before the end of the month them getting the Ichiro Suzuki situation is very appealing. It's the sexy name out there, and wow, imagine like Ichiro as a Marlin. The dollar figures that he probably wants to command and where this team's headed, they don't have a platoon situation out there. Ichiro wants to get 3,000 hits. He's not going to get the playing time here, you know, to do that barring injury. And his price tag, you know, I'm hearing the allotment is still about $1 million for that spot, which, you know, falls into the Nate Sheerholtzes and lefty bats like that are, you know, kind of the, you know, free agent guy out there looking to get his career back on track and with a little bit of a track record. You know, they did that with Reed Johnson last year. He came in as a non-roster guy. I think, you know, those type of guys I feel are a little more realistic. But on the trade front, yeah, they can make a trade, but again, they moved so many pieces in December that, you know, if they could just spend a little bit of money without breaking the bank and get a guy with track record, I think they'd rather go that route than part with a Derek Dietrich or a Donovan Solano.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.